Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
All right, welcome in on this Thursday night for the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here. And really appreciate you, as always, liking, subscribing, all that good stuff. Wherever you find your podcast or wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe right there and leave a rating and a review. Got an opponent preview coming up with Eddie Radosovic. He covers Oklahoma in like every way imaginable. But he's at Sooner Scoop, the unofficial 40 podcast. Also, I believe does daily radio out of Oklahoma City as well. So really good stuff there in that 9 minute or so conversation. A few thoughts on the game, and then we'll get to your comments and get you out of here. Really appreciate you guys as always. And the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. That's the website. But you don't have to live in the area, just off of exit 40. But you don't have to live in the area to get a great car buying experience, and that's what you will get at Toyota of Brookhaven. They'll also give you $1,000 off on me, just right off the top, $1,000 off on me. Any in-stock new Toyota, Toyota of Brookhaven will take care of you. Tell them I sent you $1,000 off on me. If you want an elite car buying experience, Toyota of Brookhaven. So a few things I'm watching for in this game. Number one is the ultimate free space. How ready are they to play in this game? Do they appear not even really distracted, but have they bounced back and recovered mentally from a difficult loss last week where they coulda, shoulda, woulda, they didn't, but should have won the game, and they came away with a loss. Now they've got to get back up, go on the road again, and it's 11 a.m. There's a chance that it's rainy and kind of muggy. You know, what is their mental focus like? How are they prepared to play in this game coming off of all of those things? And then most importantly, Trinidad. We talked about it. I think it's obvious that the atmosphere kind of got to him in the fourth quarter of that Georgia game. The pressure in the atmosphere got to him. What I've been really impressed with Trinidad, though, is his ability to like adjust or be prepared quickly. Right? He goes from D2, gets his first start in the SEC, and played really well. And then we talked about it in LSU, or in the LSU game. He throws his first interception, makes his first real mistake. It was his third start. So it took that long to get there, but he makes a mistake and then was basically perfect after that. Played a really nice game until he didn't in Athens, and then let's just be honest, he was awful in the fourth quarter. Can he bounce back again facing a bit of a different set of adversity and adapt and play well after that? So far, he's shown you that he's got the maturity and the ability to do that, but we have to see if that is the case. Can he handle this environment? Because I think it's going to be a close game. I suspect it's going to be like that. So we'll see. I think Ole Miss needs to run the ball better in this game than they did against Georgia, which is going to be a difficult ask because this Oklahoma defensive front is very, very, very good. And so Kewon Lacy, I think if you're looking for like a key player in the game, I think his stats are going to tell you a lot about the outcome of this game. I don't know if they can be one-dimensional in this one and score the way that they did. On the flip side, they've got to be a hell of a lot tougher. They've got to be tougher. I think that breaking news, more 11, John Mateer is the key, but they have got to do whatever they can to stop him. If somebody else beats you, that's fine. I was watching the Pelicans Grizzlies last night, and even though Herb Jones is a great defender, they had him one-on-one with Ja late in the fourth quarter in a close game, and especially with how the NBA is officiated, and maybe even corruptly so, but more on that maybe some other time. But they did not force the ball out of Ja's hand and to dare somebody else to beat them. And Jaren Jackson had fouled out as well. And so they just kind of left Ja one-on-one with Herb. And you guys, if you're an NBA fan, you saw how that ended up. let somebody else beat you. If they do, tip your hat, whatever. But it cannot be John Mateer's legs that beat you. And again, they've got to be a lot tougher. They've got to do a much better job of controlling the line of scrimmage in this game defensively. They have talented enough players to do it, but for whatever reason, there's been something amiss with run defense. I would like to see some other guys, maybe Banks, get some more opportunities at safety. And I think Andrew Jones needs to play a hell of a lot more at linebacker. So those are a few things that I'm watching for in this game. But more importantly, I want to get to this interview with Eddie Radosevich. He is he's awesome. And so we will get to him right now. Here is a Ole Miss Oklahoma preview from the Sooners' perspective right now.
Bureau, he covers Oklahoma in basically every way imaginable. Sooner Scoop, unofficial 40 podcast. If you can cover an athletics department, Eddie Radosevich does that, and he's on your radio right now. Eddie, let's start here, though. I need you to put your weatherman hat on for a second and be our weather correspondent. What's it going to be like on Saturday?
Well, you picked the perfect person. I try to moonlight as a little bit of a meteorologist, all not too well. Not great. It doesn't sound great. I dug up some of my old rain gear today out of my golf bag. I think we might be having to wear it for a little bit. Hopefully things move out, or the system moves out by Saturday morning. But certainly for an 11 a.m. kickoff, and it's unfortunate the game's at 11, but it seems like it's going to be rather wet. I know the field's definitely going to be. I think we're supposed to get up to 3 inches of rain here over the next couple of days. So hopefully it moves out. I guess the flip side of this is we have been dealing with what it seems like an extended summer. So I think that the weather is going to be a little bit cooler, if that can be kind of a brokerage of something nice. But yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a little bit rainy on Saturday. It's unfortunate because this is a big time football game.
Yeah, who do you think that let's pretend for a second that it's raining throughout the game. Do you have a lean on who that could favor?
I mean, I guess it'd be the team that could run the ball the best. Although I think if you would have asked me last week, there was kind of given up hope on Oklahoma trying to find a way to run the football. So they maybe found something last week against South Carolina. I think there's going to be a question at their right tackle position when the availability report comes out tonight with the expected starter, Derek Simmons. I don't know if he's going to be available on Saturday, so we'll see. I would imagine the team that can run the football though the best and certainly be able to hold on to the football. So yeah, it's kind of a coin flip when it comes to that, because I know that both teams would like to put the ball into the quarterback's hands and let him make some plays through the air.
On that note, on the injury front, it's the multi-million-dollar question. John Mateer, of course, the status is he's going to play, but how healthy do you think he actually is? And is that thumb still bothering him? What do you think there?
You know, it's kind of funny because I think like when he had the surgery going all the way back to last month, October 25th was kind of that date that everybody had circled. Like, okay, he's going to be fine by then. You can kind of stomach the next three games, get through it. And obviously he played against Texas and he played a little bit better last week against South Carolina. So we actually talked to him on Monday night. I think that the thumb is certainly getting better by the day. To say that it's 100% probably be a little bit of a lie. He talked about the brace with that he wears with the KT tape. But I think he's probably, by Saturday, it'll be the best that it's been since he's had the surgery, if that makes sense. So it was a little bit of a struggle. Maybe I think you could probably argue that he came back a little too early against Texas, and then certainly was a little bit more effective last week in Columbia. Certainly looked like the closer to the guy that we've seen in the larger sample size over the first four games of the season. I think he's probably, he's getting better just as anybody would, coming out of surgery and now almost a month out of the actual day that he had it on. But to say that he's 100%, I certainly would probably be a little bit of a lie. And I think that the way that Oklahoma, their inability to get the ball down the field through a vertical passing game, certainly I think that there's a lot of people around here that kind of feel like it's kind of hampered him a little bit. But at the same time, you want John Mateer out there on the field as being the leader that he is for this team right now.
You mentioned the success in Columbia on the ground, but you also said it's been a theme for this team that they have not been able to run the football. Why not?
Yeah. A little bit of everything, whether it's been offensive line, whether it's been revolving chairs of running backs. I think that they're starting to kind of center in on some guys specifically in the running back room. I think that, you know, Torrey Blaylock, a true freshman, has really turned heads, comes off of his second 100-yard game of his Oklahoma career. Xavier Robinson's a guy that played a little bit as a true freshman at the back end of 2024 and worked through some various knick-knack injuries through the first four or five games of the season. He started to get a little bit more run, and I think that it's been pretty evident that they've been able to get some guys in the backfield, find some more success in the ground game. And, you know, I think that ultimately the biggest thing has been an offensive line that is battled some injuries. They've had to rotate a couple guys, and certainly kind of some of the things that they've been asking the tight ends to do. Oklahoma just doesn't have that tight end room, and I think that, you know, you got to give credit to Ben Arbuckle for going back in and scheming some things up going into last week, and they obviously were able to find some stuff. So I think Oklahoma, for them to be able to run the football, they want to spread some people out and just try to gash some guys at a time. So it's going to be interesting, though. I think that that's kind of the number one thing around here, is if Oklahoma can find anything in the run game here over the next couple of weeks, I think that you kind of like where they sit from an offensive standpoint with as good as the defense has played.
And it's kind of a bad-on-bad situation, too. Ole Miss been very bad against the run, both in league play and honestly not in league play either. They haven't been good at it, so something we'll have to give there. You mentioned at the other side of the ball, Oklahoma statistically the best defense in the SEC, depending on the category you want to choose. Is that simply a product of the lacking offenses that they've played, or do you think they're legitimately the best defense in the SEC?
A little bit of both. I think that, you know, obviously, you played Michigan and you played against the Bryce Underwood as a true freshman making his first road start. There's always kind of like a qualifier, too, with all the teams that Oklahoma's played so far this season. Certainly didn't put their best effort out against Texas down at the Cotton Bowl, let that thing get away from them, especially in the third quarter with all the third downs that Texas was able to convert. You got to credit Arch Manning a little bit in that terms. But, it's from where they're coming from and we're from what Brent Venables inherited when he took over 4 years ago. It's been a dramatic turnaround. And I think that, you know, they've been able to identify some guys just from a defensive standpoint in the recruiting ranks. They've been able to develop them. And then ultimately it comes down to a defensive line that I think is probably about as deep, if not the deepest, that I can ever remember an Oklahoma football program putting out. I mean, you had guys in Marcus Strong, who's kind of their fifth interior defensive tackle, making a tackle for loss and a safety last weekend in Columbia. So it starts up front for Oklahoma from a defensive standpoint. They have one of the better defensive lines in the country. Our Mason Thomas has been exceptional on the edge. Taylor Wines had a breakout season on the other side at the defensive end position. And then in the middle, where David Stone, Jaden Jackson, guys coming in from IMG Academy, have started to live up to the billings that they had coming out of high school. Dominic Williams, Grayson Halden's another guy that when you just talk about in terms of development, you look at a guy like Grayson Halden that has been unbelievable this year. So he's kind of positioned himself to most likely be drafted in April at some point. And it's been kind of fun to watch because I think a lot of people remember the historic offenses that Oklahoma had in 17, 18, and 19. And it was because of a defense that they were never able to compete for a national championship. So, and at the end of the day, I you can say a lot about Brent Venables as a head coach. We were talking about him, you know, possibly being on the hot seat if they weren't able to get out of Williams-Brice with a win. He knows a thing or two about defense, and I think that it's kind of come to fruition for Oklahoma on that side of the football.
If you were Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr., what is a possible vulnerability that you think that they're going to try to attack?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because, as good as Oklahoma's been from a defensive standpoint this year, they're relatively young at the cornerback position. And I think that if you can try to test them early, see if you can build some success, see if Shambliss can get a little bit of confidence going, albeit, granted, what's the weather going to be like, I think that they could be susceptible to giving up some big plays through the air. They've been able to kind of navigate through that because of the pressure that they put on quarterbacks just from an outright winning battles up front standpoint. But I do think that, you know, they can give up some plays. And I think that you saw that a little bit with Texas in the third quarter down at Scott Bowl of being able to find some plays that you can have success with, particularly on third down where they were not good in Dallas. Because, you know, over the course of the season, they've been extremely good at getting off the field. So I would test those cornerbacks early. Gentry Williams left the game last weekend in the first quarter, has a little bit of a shoulder issue with that left shoulder. It looked like he wanted to come back into the game. I think that they told him he was going to be fine. And, you know, Brent Venables after the game said that the x-rays were negative. I do think it's going to be kind of interesting to see what he's listed at on the availability report on Wednesday night. But outside of that, they've been, extremely healthy, which is kind of a change here over the last couple of years. And they've been very, very good, especially guys like a Corbin Guillory that's been able to really kind of shine being thrown into the mix as a true freshman out there on the island.
Eddie, we really appreciate your time. I've been a follower of yours on Twitter for a while. You're entertaining, also, obviously, with this interview, incredibly informative as well. Stay dry out there. Put that rain gear to use, and really appreciate you. And we'll talk to you again, hopefully, down the line.
I appreciate it, guys. Anytime, thank you for the kind words. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that the people of Norman really supporting the people of Starkville this weekend and Jeff Webby.
Really good stuff there from Eddie. Hope you guys enjoyed that. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com is the website. If you are a Mississippi business anywhere in this state and you need office technology, anything office technology related, Advantage Business Systems has you covered at ABSMS.com. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a technology assessment completely on me. Also, Priority One Bank, they have 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely going to be one in your backyard if you're anywhere in Mississippi. They have an online banking platform that's outstanding, local loan servicing and decision-making. They will make you a priority like they do me every single day. It's in the name, Priority One Bank. Good to see you guys. Everyone hate Florida fans yet. Just mute this conversation. That's a feature on Twitter that you should use more often. So if Lane does leave, who do you see being the best fit to be his replacement? I have not seen you in here before. Doesn't mean you haven't been. I have a longstanding policy. I will not discuss candidates until there is a actual reason to. I don't think on October 23rd it is worth your time to hypothetically do, well, if he leaves, then go hire this guy. I just think it's a waste of time. Unless it becomes realistic, we're just not going to go down that road. Hope you understand. Appreciate you being here. Just don't have a great feeling going into the game, but you feel like Ole Miss is the better team. I kind of feel like Oklahoma's results don't match the team. But now that I said that, you know. Fred Weather's going to play a part. Will injuries see a decent amount of players on their report? Yeah, their offensive line's pretty banged up. A lot of depth pieces out. Both of their right tackles are injured. Now, one got upgraded tonight. Looks like he's going to play, but the other one was – I mean, they've got issues depth-wise on the offensive line. But the real injury that you're paying close attention to is the thumb of John Mateer. That's the issue. Team's going to play well. We'll see. It's really hard to lose, but that does provide a gut check. Competitive people hate to lose and will do anything not to feel that again. Guess we will see what kind of competitors Ole Miss has. Yeah. Wish you luck. The Ole Miss Online Dynasty National title. Yeah, good luck, man. Zero chance of winning with everything going on. I disagree with that sentiment, but I hear you. Do y'all not feel good going in? So this is a question for the chat, but I'll read it anyway. Do you feel it determines how Lane feels about the program, or because you feel that the Rebs can't win? At some point, the pass has to play a role in expectation. I do think that this game is just really it's going to – the implications of the result are going to be pretty intense. I think that this is an oversimplification, but I think if they win Saturday, the coaching search thing is going to take care of itself as a result, I think. I think being the operative phrase. I don't know that. I think it'll take care of itself at that point. It's just there's a lot. There's a lot on the line. If you get through Oklahoma with a win, you will be favored in every remaining game to make the playoff for the first time. That matters, so on and so forth. Awesome with the super chat. Really appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. unnecessary, but thank you. You say, I'm so tired of the Lane talk. I'm tired of the people who you respect saying, if I told you what I heard, you'd be really scared that he leaves, or I can't say what I want to say, then don't bring it up. I don't like the I can't say what I want to say stuff. Look, I'll repeat what I said last time we talked. I spoke to somebody that would know, and there's legitimate interest being a word that people get scared of, and you shouldn't be, in Florida. I think there is, as of this week anyway, things could change. They tend to in coaching searches and stuff like that. But as of this week, do not expect a resolution anytime soon. If that changes, I will let you know. Keith Carter and Glenn Boyce have positioned Ole Miss football to be in as strong of a position and as attractive as they possibly could be. I do not personally think that quotes about a contract offer or being proactive ahead of Florida are going to impact a decision. I don't know that. I think that. But I'm with you. It's October 23rd. It's obnoxious. There's a massive game Saturday, and the week has been spent having people ask me about something else. Only a 10% chance of rain. Kiffin said tonight on Rep Talk that the team has moved on and had a great week of practice, and that he's changed the play calling so Oklahoma won't be able to read the audibles. So I hate how this is going to sound. Coaches on the coaches show, especially Lane Kiffin, are not going to tell you if they had bad practices. If they had good practices, then him saying that's great. Like that's awesome if that's actually what went down. But he's not going to sit next to Kellum on Reb Talk and say, gosh, guys, we practice like crap. I mean, a lot of guys have been asking me about Florida, and like he's not going to say that. So there's not much that you can take away from that. Totally agree with the Andrew Jones statement. I hear you. There's a path to 10-2, but I don't think anyone feels comfortable taking that chance. And when you look around, there are possibly going to be so many teams at about that win total. The ACC is going to get really weird if you look at what they have and how many teams are involved in the race for the ACC championship. And are you going to get two teams in? Like if Georgia Tech goes to the ACC championship at 11-1, let's just call it that, and they lose in the ACC championship, they very well could SMU their way into that thing. Look at the Big 12 right now and how many teams are vying for that automatic bid. And if BYU, for example, goes into the Big 12 championship undefeated and they lose that game, are they still getting in? You've got a lot of teams that are going to have a claim, including in the SEC, at a playoff spot. I don't think 10 is going to guarantee you a spot this year like it would have last year. This is possibly the biggest regular season game Ole Miss has ever played. Not ever, because they've played games with the SEC championship on the line, and this is not that yet, but it's up there. This game, like the last one, is about the Ole Miss defense. They have to keep Mateer from moving around and running the ball. And if Oklahoma gets it going on the ground, it's probably game over. Feels like it, yeah. Feel very uncomfortable at 10-2 because at that point your best win is LSU, which they could have 4 or 5 losses by then. I don't think they will, but they could. And your next win is what? Tulane? Possibly. Yeah. Jimmy's and Joe's did play a role in that Tulane game for sure. Arkansas and Florida have both fired their coaches. Kentucky and South Carolina will likely do the same. I don't know if Kentucky's likely. I don't know if either one of those are necessarily likely, but definitely could. But yes, 10-2 is not a guarantee this year. You're right. Do trust Kiffin as a head coach way more than Venables, but this is a Pete Golden game. It absolutely is a Pete Golden game, and I trust him too. I do. I am Lane Kiffin after losses has been very good. Very good. Except for in 2022. So I'm having a hard time going to the, well, hey, after a loss, they've been performing really well, because this is the first time that there's been actual conversation about him to another job, real conversation, since then. So, you know, the committee's going to want representation, even though an ACC team would go 8-4, 7-5 in the SEC. Yep. They can only play the games in front of them, though. If Pete was on the sidelines, would it improve anything? I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, it's all about personal preference. And one bad game does not negate all the good that he's done. Wonder how the weather will not just affect the game, but the crowd, too. Tickets are way down on this game. Yeah, they are. And, I mean, part of it, too, right, is, like, you've got the diehard out there that's not going to miss this game no matter what. I expect the crowd to be pretty awesome. But if it's still raining all the way up to kickoff, you're not going to get every wife and every kid to go sit through that. And it would be subdued, even if they're there. So, there's a real possibility that more than half the teams they played this year will be looking for new coaches. Georgia State, Arkansas, Florida, Kentucky, South Carolina, Tulane, LSU, maybe even State. I would be shocked if Mississippi State gets into the coaching carousel at this point. I think that's the expectation that Kiffin wants to do away with. When he was with Saban, it felt like a failure to lose one game. Granted, the landscape is significantly different with talent hoarding. Yes, it is, and it's also the programs are still different. So, only Kiffin knows what he wants, but what I do know is that Florida fans are desperate. Briefly turned into Buddy Martin's podcast, and they said Lane Kiffin told another SEC coach that he would be at Florida next year. Jesus, I mean... Why do people say things like that? Why do they say things like that? Because you know that's not true. You know that's not true. Lane Kiffin told another coach in the SEC that at the end of the year, he's changing jobs from one SEC team to another. Come on, guys. Come on. Let's think with our brains a little bit. I mean, I know this stuff just gets absurd so quickly, but can we not use our brains for a little while? Please. I mean, here's the thing, and you guys might not like this part of it. LSU's possibly going to come open. Nobody's committing to anything until they know what's going to happen in Baton Rouge. So just try to tune stuff like that out. Oklahoma on offense is averaging 17 points per game in conference. Yeah. And don't forget it, you know. They've won games, though, on defense. But, yeah, Mateer's hand come out with a wet ball could be problematic. That's why I think you want it to rain a little bit. Banged up offensive line for Oklahoma, struggling to run the football until last week. But South Carolina is a whole nother conversation, especially with their injury situation. And then a quarterback a few weeks removed from thumb surgery. If Ole Miss does lose, they need LSU to beat A&M. Yeah. I think things start to get weird if they lose, too, with the coaching situation. Played pretty good on defense against mid- to low-level offenses and couldn't get off the field against the two good ones they played. Oklahoma, I think, is somewhere in the middle. I tend to agree. Does a 10-2 Georgia Tech get in over 10-2 Ole Miss? Who are their two losses to? LSU's going to rally and beat Texas A&M? I kind of think so. Is that Florida offer for $13.5 million for Lane Kiffin fake? I don't know. That would make him the highest paid head coach in college football by, what, $500,000? I think if you look at the reaction from Florida people to the individual that reported that, I would be shocked beyond measure, to be honest with you, if that number leaked out like that. I mean, Scott Strickland allowing that to leak to anybody would be coaching search suicide. So, at least I think it would be. From the other side's AD, I understand why Keith Carter talked. I get that part. There's no reason for Florida to leak it to what appears to be somebody that is not exclusively trusted anyway down there. That doesn't track. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Yes, the official getting suspended appears to be legitimate. It is possible to get in the playoff, but yeah, you need a lot of teams to lose a round. You're exactly right. Got Oklahoma winning 24-20. Ooh, that would be. Heard Florida's going after Borky for the new head coach. I'll take half of what they're going to pay whoever the next guy is. You're the only one that's getting slowly more concerned with the Egg Bowl by every single week. Ask me again after the Oklahoma game, and I'll tell you what your concern level should be. You'll make the buttons, Borky to Florida. Yeah. I'll take even a fourth of what they're going to pay the next guy. If Kiffin had signed an extension, someone in power would say so. He hasn't done it yet. Why? Because he's considering Florida's offer. Yeah, thank you. And also, Kurt Cignetti's an outlier. Why hasn't Eli Drinkwitz signed an extension and announced it? Why hasn't Marcus Freeman announced and signed an extension? Why hasn't any of these guys that are going to be involved? Why hasn't Rhett Lashley done that? Cignetti's an outlier in that. It's not a problem. It's not a concern that Lane hasn't done that yet. That'll be dealt with later. Even if it's bad news or good news for Ole Miss when it comes to Lane Kiffin, that'll be dealt with later. That's a later thing. That's not a right now thing. Kurt Cignetti's an outlier. Right now, everybody involved in this besides him are not doing that. Where it becomes an issue is if he turns it into a sideshow. That's the issue, is if the team isn't ready to play and they lose games that they shouldn't lose, and all of the social media garbage and the leaking to Chris Lowe and all the things that come with that, that's where an issue is created. It's whether or not you handle this the right way with your team in the meantime. That's the thing. Hasn't signed an extension yet. Doesn't matter. Nobody else has either besides Cignetti, and he is an outlier. Think the Vandy coach is impressive and has done a lot with less money. Why is he not considered a serious hire for bigger programs? Because he's got 2 10-2s. I think that's part of it. Also, a lot of people think that Pavia is like the main factor for them winning, and when he's gone, they're not sure what he is. But it's the 2 10 and, or excuse me, I said, did I say 2 10-2s? 2 2-10s. In there. That's what it is. Going to be a giant swing of emotions one way or another Saturday and Sunday, no doubt. Believe if they can get out of Norman with the win, 11-1 is on the table. I would bet on 11-1 if they get out of Norman with the win. I would bet on it. Yes. I have a hard time imagining 11-1 Ole Miss. Guess because it's never been done before. That would be incredible. Cignetti's not a Sexton client, that's why. No, I think these are grown men, after all. They can make their own decisions. They can tell their agent what to do. The agent works for them, not vice versa. all of these guys that are employed by Sexton tell him what to do, right? They are his boss. He's not their boss. So I think that's kind of a cop-out in allowing these guys off the hook for having the agent that they have. They hire the agent that they do to do the things that he does. Tier's not 100% healthy. Definitely has not been, but another week to heal and rehab and stuff, we'll see. Can you imagine a playoff with Ole Miss, Georgia Tech, Vanderbilt, and Indiana? Yeah, throw in USF in there. Yeah. Cignetti's almost 65 and done with coaching. Every other coach is much younger and can still move around. That's part of it, too, is I'd be willing to bet that he's done. But again, it's not the signing of an extension or lack thereof. That's not the issue right now. The issue is, can all of that not become a sideshow and the team continue to play well and win games? That's the thing here. That's what everybody needs to be talking about more so than whether or not he signs an extension, because it's not going to happen right now. So just don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You think they'll be ready to play and win given the matchup issues and conditions on the field Saturday? Ole Miss hasn't played a defense like this. LSU isn't near as nasty up front. How much of Oklahoma's defensive stats, though, are related to the teams that they've played? Again, I think they're really good. I think they're really good. But in their three SEC games, they've played three of the four worst offenses in the league. Ironically enough, one of them is Texas. So, how much of that and their defensive prowess is related to the fact that they've played Auburn, who can't complete the forward pass, where they've played South Carolina, who is horrendous offensively, and they've played Texas, who scored 10 points in regulation against Kentucky, you know? So we'll see. Something's got to give there. SEC Stadium, 14 of 16, just Texas and Missouri left. That's awesome, man. That's really cool. How do I think Weiss is going to attack this defense? So I think Oklahoma's got a vulnerability in the back end of their defense, I think. My expectation is very similar, frankly, to what you saw with Georgia. A lot of get the ball out fast, quick passes, play action, move the pocket, that kind of stuff. A quick game, because I don't think that you're going to be able to sit in the pocket. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm totally wrong. I don't think you're going to have 4 or 5 seconds to throw the football all day. And that's not Trinidad's strength anyway. So I think it's going to be a very quick offense. Yes, and it would be it would not only be a huge boost, it would put them in the driver's seat to make the playoff. I think LSU gets A&M. I tend to also. A&M has looked impressive, but besides Notre Dame, they haven't been tested really. Side note, we need Notre Dame to lose something soon. Yes, we do. I think they will. Have Ole Miss winning 24-20. Rain will complicate things. Just don't see it being a high-scoring game. I don't think it will be regardless. But Ole Miss's defense has to step up and be much, much tougher. I appreciate you guys being here as always. Thank you. We will be live shortly after the game to react to it together. I'll see you guys Saturday after the game. Have a good night.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.